Hey guys, what's up? It's RJ, host of the Freelance Podcast and fellow freelancer out there running the game with you guys. Freelancing is tough, right? So it's always nice to be able to have somebody that you can learn from, talk to, and hopefully get better. So in today's show, I'm going to be talking about the concept of over-promising. Over-promising has its pros and cons, but I'm talking specifically to younger freelancers, newer freelancers. I don't know if I like the term younger. Newer, maybe less experienced freelancers. Over-promising can get you in a lot of trouble. However, if you can over-promise properly, it can actually work to your advantage. So that's what we're going to be going over, or I'm going to be talking about in today's show. Hopefully you guys will find it helpful. Before I get into the concept of over-promising, I want to run through some email. I don't know if it's because this happened around the beginning of the year and whatnot. Maybe there's some new listeners, but I've been getting a lot of email, and that's super cool. Like, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to, you know, write an email and say nice things about what it is that I'm doing. I'm glad that there are people out there that are finding this helpful. But of course, it comes with questions as well, and that's what I tell you guys. Shoot me an email. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them, and I absolutely am. So I'm going to do that with a few emails before we get into the bulk of the show here. So this first question comes from Jonathan, and Jonathan essentially asks, I've mentioned on the show before that I do a lot of work with other agencies. And so in his question is kind of twofold. It's, you know, how did you approach these agencies and how did you build this relationship? And then specifically when showing work on your portfolio that may say, you know, website built by somebody other than me, do people ever question me about that? Has that been an issue? So I believe I've talked about this in a previous episode, and I can't remember exactly which one, but I'm just going to real quickly say, in terms of the agencies that I work with, all of the agencies that I work with have come from recommendations from other relationships that I have. And I know that's kind of a non-answer, but the reason that I'm giving you that answer is to really drive home the point that you never really know what a relationship can become, a professional relationship can turn into when you first begin working with somebody. And I believe 100% that the key to success as a freelancer is relationships and having good, strong relationships with the people that you work with, whether it's another contractor or a freelancer you work with, or whether it's a client that you work with. So to answer your question, Jonathan, I have not gone through the process of, or successfully gone through the process. I have done cold calls and cold emails to other agencies, but as having, you know, the presentation of an agency myself, I'll tell you what, they get a lot of emails saying, hey, these are my services and this is what I can do for you. And they all sound the same, to where I've just become so desensitized that I don't really pay attention to those that come in. And I would imagine that the emails I was sending out at the beginning when I was trying to work with these other agencies probably fell on deaf ears and blind eyes as well, because they sounded scripted and all the same and all that stuff. Relationships and making sure that you essentially, like, freelancing is this: people are exchanging money for your services. So if you go above and beyond to make sure that what you deliver, you know, your communication is clear, what you're going to deliver, what the costs are, all of these stuff are clear, and you deliver an exceptional experience, that's going to pay dividends later down the road. I've had both other contractors I work with bring me new clients, new agencies, and I've also had other clients bring me new clients as well. And once you can, you know, yes, it takes some time to get that going, but once you can, it's a great way to bring in new business. And then also he asked what, you know, I build a lot of sites for different agencies, and at the bottom of these sites, it'll say, you know, built by design company or whatever, and it's not my name. But I built these sites, I'm showing them in my portfolio and showing them off. Do I get people that, you know, kind of question that? And the short answer is no. I don't really get people. This isn't a common thing where people are like, oh, you know, you say you built this, but it says this agency built it. And the very, like, I can count on one hand, and honestly, I can only really think of maybe two people that have asked this. I just explain, you know, well, I'm a contractor and they contracted this development work out to me. And because I have the code and stuff, you know, if it got to a point where they didn't believe me, you know, one, that could potentially, depending on the tone, it could potentially be a red flag and maybe I don't want to work with this client. Or two, you know, I have the proofs in the pudding. I can walk you through the site. I can show you proof that here's the code I wrote and all that stuff. But it's really not an issue. To be honest with you, when people are looking at your portfolio, when it comes to if you're a web designer, developer, or do work on the web, maybe as a content specialist or something along those lines, a lot of people are not going to drill down to, you know, they're typically in the footer. They're not going to drill down into the footer and scrutinize over that. So, Jonathan, thank you for writing in. I appreciate the question. This next question comes from James, and James has a common question that I think freelancers have a lot of time. And again, I believe that I have answered this and gone more in depth in one of the early episodes of this podcast. But real quickly, James, I want to make sure that I answer your question. So he asks the age-old company of, do I use my own name or do I register a name as I have done? And I, meaning he's referencing me. So, and then number two, you know, if you use a company name so that in the future hire employees, if you expand and all the different things that come along with, you know, when you think of owning an agency, what's the route to go when you're starting out? And in my opinion, I think you go the simplest, easiest route. It's easy to think, what if? And that's not a bad thing to contemplate. You know, what happens if I become successful? Are you the type of person, do you do the sort of work that it makes sense to hire other people? You know, I thought when I started that I was going to have this big agency with employees and stuff like that. Come to find out, I don't want that. Like professionally, I don't want employees. I like getting my hands dirty with what it is that I do. James, I have both. I have branded myself by my name, and I also have an agency that a lot of people know me through as well. But the way I've gone about it is my personal name. I'm using that more for things like the podcast, things like my course, things like that, that are more not so specific to client work as my agency is. But to be fully honest with you, I got called out in an email as well for this, is that I don't even remember last time I updated my agency website. It's just one of those, you know, to go to the old saying, the cobbler's kids never have any shoes. It hasn't been a priority because I've had tons of work. So I don't think it truly matters. And this is also one thing that is super easy for you to get stuck on and try to make, you know, I have to make the right decision. What about 5 years from now? You know, all these different things, right? Don't just run with it. If you have a name in mind, check if the domain's available, register it and roll with that. It's super easy to set up an LLC. You know, I'm no legal expert, but I've set up, you know, 4 or 5 different LLCs in different states. And it's a very simple thing to do so that if you do register a business name, you can do that very easily and inexpensively. But also too, like don't sweat it. Don't overthink it, because there's so many other things that are important, more important than figuring out a name and moving forward with it. Don't let this drag you down. You can always change later on. About a year ago, I was going to rebrand my agency. I registered a new LLC and did all these things and decided to scrap the rebranding, but you can always change down the road. It's honestly not a big deal. So go with what your gut tells you. All right. The next question comes from Cassie, or Casey, one of those two. they have a blog and they're going to be moving platforms, and they're thinking about changing the name in order to make it look more professional and potentially monetize it. Right now it's their own domain name, so this is kind of related to the question that we just had. Should they change the name or keep it? And I think the same answers that I just kind of gave apply. And since this is a blog and you're writing content, you should have an idea of your audience in mind. And so I would say use that information to help guide you in your decision. Depending on how long you've been doing this, and depending what your, you know, audience is like in terms of number of visitors and stuff like that, it could be jarring for you to go through a rebrand, and you could lose some of the goodwill, some of the familiarity that you've built up over, you know, I'm assuming these years. You could lose that if you rebrand. So I think you need to go with your gut, whatever your gut tells you. If you're going through your name, you can monetize that, like, there's no issue, you know, unless you're writing content for, and this is an over-exaggeration, but unless you're writing content for people that work in cubicle farms, you know, just, I would say know your audience, and chances are, you know, of other sites that are similar to yours in terms of what the writing context is, just see what they're doing. I wouldn't say try to force yourself to be more professional. It's really just a gut feeling and what you feel comfortable with. The next email came from Randall, and while he didn't necessarily have a specific question, one of the things he pointed out when, you know, writing very nice words about my podcast and everything, was that I show points both in the positive and negative of freelancing. And I'm glad he said that. And the reason that I wanted to just quickly reference this email was because I feel the past few episodes have been more towards maybe the negative side of things. And to be honest with you, when you're a freelancer, there are very much ebbs and flows in terms of success, failure, mood of feeling happy and excited and depressed and filled like you're just, you know, trudging through the mud. And last year, I just had a boatload of work on top of me, and it really just drained me. And the positive effects where bank account was up, you know, that, and that's fantastic. And that helps a lot of other stressors. But the negatives and the downs were that there was just more that I could do. There was just too much for me. I said yes to too many things. And that stopped me from doing other things that made me happy, like the podcast. So I appreciate, Randall, that you resonate with that and that stood out to you, because I absolutely don't want to be one of those, you know, here's the top 10 tips on how to become a six-figure freelancer in your first week, you know, because that's bullshit. Like, none of that stuff matters. And the majority of content out there is a lot of Me Too content. It's a lot of people doing the same things. You know, you see, and this is not to knock anybody, and if this is something that you're doing, it's not to knock you. I think it has a valid place, but you see a lot of people who are coaching. I just did air quotes in case you were wondering. People who are coaching and posting these images with, you know, inspirational quotes and passages on them and stuff like that, and showing you how to live your best life. But the majority of that is bullshit. And it's just one of those things that there are ebbs and flows in freelancing. You're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. And the important thing is just to be honest with yourself. So Randall, thank you again for sending that in. I am trying to make sure that the podcast doesn't just become a ranting platform for me, and that I'm actually getting back to providing useful information instead of those who provide very high level stuff that for those of us that aren't at that point in our lives or careers is just not obtainable, because that's what a lot of content was. If you listen to the very beginning of the very first episode of the Freelance Podcast, I run you through the example of me driving to work in my car, listening to these other podcasts and stuff like that. And just, you know, yes, it's motivating to hear other people's success, but I just wasn't in that place. And there wasn't a lot of options for me to learn and listen to people who were in the same place as me. And that was my goal in the Freelance Podcast from the beginning, was trying to give you valuable, actionable information. And I hate the actionable, you hear that all the time, but really just give you information that you can either answer as a question right now with where you're at, or can help you take the next step, you know, again, where you're at, not, you know, oh, you have one client and they paid you $1,000 and that's a success for you. Now let's get 40 clients who pay you, you know, not something that drastic. So Randall, I appreciate that for sending that in and noticing that. Okay. A lot of questions, a lot of emails coming in. Again, if you do have questions, if there's anything that I can help you with, I'm happy to do it. It may not be a very quick response. I'll just be completely honest with you. The first question from Jonathan came from the end of November, so he's going on, you know, 2 months without any response from me, but it's coming in this podcast. So I am happy to help you. You can always email me. The easiest way is usually through my website, just on the contact page, fill out the form. It's rjmccollum.com. You can reach me at Twitter, rjmccollum, or you can just email direct, rj@rjmccollum.com. Okay, let's talk about over-promising. As I'm talking about the concept of over-promising and how it can be hurtful and how it could potentially help you, I'm thinking about this, just so you know my train of thought, I'm thinking about this from two different places, and both of them are caused by a lack of confidence. I'm thinking of the concept of over-promising from a place of somebody has asked me to do something that I've either not done before or I'm not very familiar with. And I'm also looking at it from the place of I'm just really new. and those kind of go together. But I still get, you know, talk with clients and go through proposal processes for things that I am not 100% confident with. So even though I feel that I've reached, you know, I've been around for a little bit, I've have this kind of consistency in terms of client work and stuff like that, there's still a point where I may overpromise because I simply don't know, or there's not a large bit of confidence with me saying, yeah, I can do that. But then there's also the other person, or when I first started back freelancing, to where you just don't, you're just new, and that confidence isn't there because you haven't gone through the steps enough in order to have that confidence. So overpromising, what is it, right? Pretty straightforward. It's all in the word itself. Overpromising means that you are saying you can do something, you can meet a deadline, you can do it for X amount of dollars, and you do it in order to sound good or make the sale or whatever, and then you find out that, holy crap, this is either way harder than I thought it was, this is going to take way more time, or I only charged $1,000, but I spent, you know, 30 hours on this, and I really lost a lot of money. That's what overpromising is. Telling a client yes to something, and it either taking too long, costing too much money, or even not being able to fulfill what it is that you promise. So it's pretty clear when we talk about overpromising that we're going to associate it with all bad. And so that's what we're going to talk about first, is the bad stuff, right? So what happens when you overpromise? I remember back to this project recently, where I was talking with the client, and this is a potential client. I hadn't closed the deal or anything like that. And we're going through this application that they want built, And, you know, I know just enough of how to truly understand how it would work, but the actual code, the actual details and specifics of the code, I haven't done stuff like that before. And so I was making an educated guess, I suppose you could say. And in talking with the client, you know, there were a lot of things that would come up. We'd be speaking and we'd be going over things. We'd have kind of the overall, you know, large 30,000 foot structure of the project, what the deliverables were. But then as we would dive deeper, there would be these little things like, oh, and can we make sure it does this? And I would say yes, because that's a little thing, right? But what happened is that after we had these meetings and we went back and, you know, I put my proposal and stuff together and listed out all these things, I realized that I knew what their ceiling budget was, and I kept saying yes to all these little things. And when I looked at what their ceiling budget was and all these things that I said yes that we can do, it was pretty clear that, like, okay, yes, this project is a large sum of money, but when you actually look at the work, it's not super profitable because there's a lot of things that need to get built. Had this project actually come to fruition, you know, spoiler alert, I didn't get the project. They decided not to move forward with it, or they decided to use somebody else, and that's what they told me. I would have been in a situation that I overpromised, and I'm confident I could have delivered, but I wouldn't have felt as good about the project. I probably would have ended up feeling that I didn't make enough money for the amount of work that I did. So overpromising doesn't always hurt the client. In fact, sometimes it can work to their benefit. A lot of times, and honestly every time, overpromising is going to absolutely affect you, the freelancer. In that situation, it would have affected me financially based on the amount of work that I did. Now, I'm going to take you through another scenario. This is probably 5 years ago or so, where I had this person, this other freelancer that I worked with, and they would send me work on a semi-regular basis. And there was this one project that came along and, you know, hey, this is the project, this is how much money I have for you, but, you know, it's a quick turnaround. Can we have it done by this date? Yep, thumbs up. Like, I was all about it. I said, yep, I can do it, no problem. But the problem was that I was saying yes to all these other things, and it got to a point where I did not meet the deadline. And I wasn't even close. It's not like, okay, I just need like 2 more days on this and I'm good. It's like the deadline came around and I had barely started on the project, and I had at least a week or two to finish it out. And that was tough, because obviously the client definitely lost on that one. The person that I worked with, they had to explain that to their client, and it put them in a real crappy situation that I was responsible for. So not only did that affect the client, the person I was working for, but it affected me because of the guilt. Like, I felt bad because, yes, I said I could do this. I overpromised, and I didn't deliver. And so not only are both of us feeling bad, I'm feeling guilty, the client's probably feeling angry because their client's feeling angry. It also put a strain on our relationship probably for the next 6 months. I continued working with this person, but anytime timeframes would come up, I'd kind of get that, like, are you sure that you're saying yes to this? Are you sure? And so that had somewhat of a ripple effect. One of the questions that I answered at the beginning of the show, I stressed how important relationships are in creating this exceptional experience for people, because if you do, it can really pay for itself later down the road. But if you don't, just like I walked you through that scenario where I missed the deadline, it can also hurt you really bad. And I'm sure that you're like me, is that a lot of people remember the bad stuff that happens to them, more so than the good stuff that happens to them. So that's a scenario of I overpromised on deadlines. And it's one of those things, overpromising, that as a freelancer, there's always that struggle. You know, you can call it feast or famine, you can call it whatever you want, but there's always that struggle where you want to make sure that you have work lined up. I mean, obviously, right? That's why we're freelancing. Without work, we have to go get a job, and that's not what we're wanting, or that's what we're trying to get away from. Overpromising can work to your benefit, and it can actually help you in some situations, but the majority of the time, overpromising is going to end up, you know, making you fall on your ass, because it's just going to be a negative experience for those you're working with and also you. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I do not enjoy always feeling the pressure of this deadline's coming up. I miss this deadline. Like, it's a real shitty way to work, because you're always working from a place of fear instead of a place of excitement and happiness, where, you know, that obviously affects the level of work you put out as well. So chances are you already knew what overpromising was. I just wanted to give some specific examples that I've gone through personally to help kind of frame that. So let's talk about the opposite of that and how overpromising can actually help you. And I look at things like this this way frequently. And so I'm going to use the same exact example that I used when I was saying how overpromising can be a negative. And that was the project where, yes, the budget was large, but the client kept saying, oh, and we needed to do this. And I kept saying yes, 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 yes. And to where I overpromised the amount of work that could be done for the price, to where I wasn't going to be making a lot of money. If you remember at the beginning of that, what I said is that I understood the concepts that we were trying to accomplish, but I didn't know the exact code to write. So in saying yes to that, one of the reasons that, even though I was aware, like, okay, I think I'm overpromising, this could end up being bad, one of the reasons that I kept moving forward and attempting to get this project was because I was looking at it as an opportunity to get paid to learn. So in overpromising, you know, saying that I can do this, and not, you know, not missing deadlines, but specifically using the example of overpromising to where maybe the amount of work and the money you're getting paid don't match up to where you lose out a little financially. I was able to justify that by saying, okay, I don't know how to do this. I would like to know how to do this. And instead of, you know, spending a weekend learning to do this, I'm going to spend a weekend learning to do this, but actually get paid for my work. So I'm kind of getting paid to learn this. And I know that this concept will help me get other projects that are like this. So there can be a situation to where you specifically overpromise in order to either help the relationship that you're working with. You know, there's some times where a client will come to me, an agency will come to me and say, hey, we have this project. It's a really tight time frame. And even though I know that that time frame is super tight and I may be a day or so late, I will promise it because I want them to know that, like, hey, like, I'm here to play ball. You know, if it's a give and take in our relationship. So there can be benefits to overpromising. The whole trick in all of this to try to kind of walk that line is understanding your strengths, understanding your weaknesses, and being realistic. Now, if we look at both ends of the spectrum of I'm over here quoting projects with large amounts of money and saying I'm getting taught to learn, but it's easy for me to do that because I have plenty of work coming in where financially I don't need this project. If this project doesn't come through, it's not the end of the world. I can pay my rent, pay my bills, food on the table for my family. That's not an issue. That's where I'm at in this end of the spectrum currently in my career. But I used to be, and there's a good chance that a large amount of you guys are in the other scenario on the other end of the spectrum where you need a project to come through. And it's, you know, it may not be a dire situation to where I can't pay my rent if I don't take this project on, but it could very much be a realistic situation to where I really need this project because it's been a while. I need a little bump in my bank account, or, you know, I had some medical bills, and like whatever the situation is, sometimes you overpromise because you got to have that project because you need the financials. You really want to work with this person, whatever it is. And in looking at those two different ends of the spectrum, you approach overpromising from two different places. And so the whole point of going over this concept of overpromising is to show you where the concerns should be, but also how you can use it to your benefit. So all of this to say that when you find yourself in a situation, whether it's the contract hasn't been signed yet, or the contract has been signed, just do your best to step back and realistically look and try to put the different scenarios that caused you to overpromise out of there, and just look at it from a realistic standpoint. Because if you do overpromise and you find yourself in a real tough situation because of that, to where it'll affect you and the client, sometimes what you got to do is step back, take a deep breath, and if in doing that, if you can collect yourself, then you may be able to lessen the negative impact that overpromising has and still salvage something out of that. And also, too, never discount honesty. I used to try to hide or make excuses to make it seem like, oh, well, I didn't reach that deadline because, you know, so-and-so didn't get me what I need, or was a day late getting me what I need. That's stupid. Don't do it. It's dumb. It does you no good. Nobody likes hearing excuses, right? And especially if they get them frequently. So if you do find yourself in a situation where you've overpromised and it's become a negative situation, especially when the client is involved and they're being negatively affected because of your overpromising, honesty is key. There's been times in the past year or so where, you know, I've missed a deadline and I've just come out and said, I started later than I should have because I thought that I could get it done, but I couldn't. And then here's the important part with honesty, especially if it is a situation where, let's just say I missed the project deadline, I'm having to tell them, I want to definitely give them, I missed the deadline, I'm sorry, it's my fault, however, I can have it done for you over the weekend or in a week, or give them something tangible to go off of. Because especially in working with other freelancers, other agencies, like I do a lot, they have to answer to their client. So if you just tell them, you know, even if you're honest and say, hey, I'm sorry I missed this deadline, but you don't give them something concrete, then they're in an even worse situation because they have what I like to call general specifics to give to their client. We missed the deadline, we're working on it, and that's it. Now, the whole thing with doing that, though, is if you give them, you know, but I can have it done over the weekend, you better work your ass off to make sure that you hit that deadline. Because if you miss another deadline, your credit is going way down in their eyes. Okay, so that's overpromising. Overpromising a lot for newer or younger, less experienced freelancers can be very dangerous, and you can get yourself in some bad situations. But if you can look at it realistically, there are ways you can actually use overpromising to work towards your benefit. If you do have any questions when it comes to overpromising, how to handle the situations or anything like that, I'm just one person and I have my way of handling it. And over the years, in terms of, you know, maturity and age and experience, I have drastically changed how I handle it. So I'm happy to, you know, help you out and help you navigate those tricky situations. Again, shoot me an email and I'm happy to answer those questions. I really appreciate everybody out there listening. I appreciate the emails coming through. I'm glad that people are finding value out of this and very much invested in this podcast. I feel like I'm starting to find a groove with it in terms of how I'm thinking about it. And, it's still around. It, you know, you may not get a new episode every week, every month, but it's very much something that I am, invested in, and it's gonna, you know, continue moving forward. So don't feel that, if you send me what's the point of asking a question? Because who knows if this is ever going to happen again or whatever. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. I do appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate the contact. The whole point of this is to have a conversation and help each other out, because not all advice is equal. And I don't always give the best advice, but I try to give you advice that will hopefully help you. So until next time, we will see you guys later. Good luck with your work, and we'll talk again.